بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our first session. Today this is our first session for our course in مستوى الثالث, يعني third level of fiqh from the Arabic Language Institute, Islamic University of Medina. And as we said يعني previously that يعني our purpose or our intent in studying this is twofold. Number one, to increase our knowledge of the Arabic language, and secondly, to benefit يعني from some of the affairs related to the fiqh, specifically here the fiqh of ibadah, يعني الطهارة and salat and zakat and siyam and hajj. And we're going to start by reading from the beginning of the book on page 2, introduction, which tells us يعني something about the intent or purpose of this course, and it also indicates يعني the topics, the subjects that will be covered under the various aspects of worship that this book deals with. And it also includes an introduction to fiqh itself, which if we have time we'll go into. And then يعني in the next session, inshallah, we'll probably open up with the first main subject, which is Kitab al-Tahara, and some of the details that يعني we'll cover in this level, and the remaining details covered in the next level, Musarrabia. Okay, so if we turn to page 2, and at the top of the page it says Al-Muqaddama, يعني introduction. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wahdahu wassalatu wassalamu ala man لا نبي بعده نبينا محمد ابن عبد الله المبعوث رحمة وحداية للناس كافة وعلى آله وصحبه ومن احتدى بحديه إلى يوم الدين وبعد. You gonna sit with us today? Take one of these so you can follow us, inshallah. Okay, so they begin by praising Allah. The praise belongs to Allah alone. And the salat and the salam are upon the one who, يعني من لا نبي بعده, the one who there is no prophet after him. And this is a clear statement. يعني it is one of the expressions that was very commonly used by Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, رحمه الله رحمة واسعة, يعني to clarify that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no prophet to come after him, not Elijah Muhammad, Ghulam Ahmed, or anybody else. Huh? لا نبي, يعني لا نافية للجنس. لا نافية للجنس. There is absolutely no prophet after him. In the same way you say لا إله, you don't say لا إلهٌ, but you say لا إله. يعني there's absolutely nothing that deserves the worship except Allah. لا نبي بعده.
So نعم.
نبينا محمد ابن عبد الله, يعني our prophet Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, المبعوث, يعني the one who has been sent, يعني missioned.
ها؟
Yeah, has shadda, na'am. Yani the word Nabi has shadda in it, right? Yani ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu nabiyyina. Yani ala nabiyyina Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mab'uthi, the one who has been missioned, rahmatan wa hidayatan lin-nasi kafatan. Yani he has been missioned, sent as a mercy and as a means of guidance for humanity, kafatan, all the whole of humanity. Yani for all the nations, not just to the Arab, rather to all the people of humanity until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadyihi ila Yawm al-Din. Wa ba'd. And also, yani the salat and salam be upon, yani his alihi wa sahbihi, yani his family and his companions. And whoever, man ihtada bihadyihi, whoever follows his guidance, yani his guidance, whoever follows his guidance, ila yawm al-deen, until the day of accounting, wa ba'd. And then after this, يعني we say فهذه دروس الفقه للمستوى الثالثي. يعني these are lessons in fiqh, يعني in Islamic jurisprudence for the third level, يعني third level of the Arabic program in the Islamic University of Medina بشعبة تعليم اللغة العربية لغير الناطقين بها. يعني the third level in the شعبة for learning, يعني the شعبة means the branch or department, يعني the institute in this case for learning Arabic language or teaching, I should say, يعني تعليم for teaching the Arabic language لغير الناطقين بها, for other than those who are speakers of it. يعني other than the ناطقين, ناطق means the one who speaks. يعني بها means باللغة العربية. For other than those who are speaking, يعني as their first language, Arabic language. For those who are not, يعني Arabic language speakers. حسب ما اختارته اللجنة or يعني لجنة المناهج وهي تشتمل على ما يأتي. يعني these are lessons in fiqh for the third level of the Arabic Language Institute for those who are non-Arabic speakers. حسب in accordance with what has been chosen. اختارته لجنة المناهج, يعني the committee that makes up the curriculums, يعني for the institute. يعني these lessons or in accordance with what has been chosen by a special committee that's يعني set up to design the curriculums for the Arabic Language Institute. وهي تشتمل على ما يلي, and these lessons يعني are composed of what follows. The first thing, huh? I'm sorry, I said يلي على ما يأتي. جزاك الله خير يا إبراهيم. نعم. Please don't hesitate to stop me. وهي تشتمل على ما يأتي, على what follows, على what follows. أولا تمهيد, يعني the first thing that we're going to have here is the تمهيد. تمهيد means the forward or preface, يعني an introduction to the, يعني to this textbook. The first thing is going to be تمهيد, and then after that we see the second thing is كتاب الطهارة, and then صلاة, and then صيام and حج. Okay, so there's basically a tamheed, and then there are five chapters after the tamheed. Okay, so awalan, the first thing this book is going to be composed of is tamheedun, an introduction or forward or preface. ويتضمن هذا التمهيد معنى الفقه وموضوعه وفائدته وحكم تعلمه وتعليمه والأحكام الشرعية الخمسة ومعرفة من هو الفقيه. يعني this introduction or forward or preface يتضمن هذا التمهيد, يعني this introduction يعني contains within it the meaning of fiqh. What is the meaning of the word fiqh, يعني linguistically and technically. Second thing the introduction is going to contain موضوعه. What is the subject of fiqh? What is the subject that it deals with? وفائدته. What is its benefit of learning fiqh? And the حكم, the ruling concerning تعلمه وتعليمه. Learning fiqh and teaching fiqh. يعني is it obligatory? يعني is it permissible? What is the ruling concerning it? والأحكام الشرعية الخمسة, and the five legal rulings. يعني related to يعني matters in Islamic law. There are five types of legal rulings. Something is obligatory, or it's يعني commendable, or it's haram, or it's disliked, or it's يعني doesn't يعني it's permissible. يعني مباح. Okay, so these are الأحكام الشرعية الخمسة. And then the last thing that the تمهيد includes is معرفة من هو الفقيه. يعني knowing, knowledge of, acquaintance with, who is the faqih? Yani who is considered to be a scholar of fiqh? A scholar of fiqh. Alright? So we should know that there's a difference between the faqih and the muhaddith. Muhaddith is a scholar of hadith. A faqih is a scholar of fiqh. They are not the same. Scholar of tafsir, different, right? Scholar of tafsir is what? Mufassir. So there are scholars in different areas. Sure, there are some scholars major scholars who are learned in fiqh and hadith and tafsir and aqeed and everything, right? But also, there are scholars who specialize in one area. He's a faqih. This one is a muhaddith. This one is a mufassir, and so on. So we should know this. So we want to know who is the faqih. So this is what the introduction, the tamheed, consists of. The meaning of fiqh, the subject of fiqh, its benefit, the ruling concerning, yani learning it and teaching it, the five legal rulings, yani when we look at the sharia, what are the five types of rulings? For any matter, it may be considered under one of these categories, one of these five, and knowing who is the faqih. The second thing that this book consists of, after the introduction, ثانياً كتابُ الطهارة. كتابُ الطهارةِ. The book of purification. And obviously, the book of Tahara, in this book, and in our text here that we're going to be using, is not going to cover everything related to Tahara. It's going to cover some of those matters. So what are those matters? يَشْتَمِلُ عَلَى تَعَارِيفِ الطَّهَارَةِ وَأَحْكَامِ الْمِيَاهِ وَالنَّجَاسَةِ وَأَنْوَاعِهَا وَتَطْهِيرِ مَا أَصَابَتْهُ النَّجَاسَةُ وَبَابِ الْوُضُوعِ وَفُرُودِهِ وَسُنَنِهِ وَنَوَاقِدِهِ وَالشَّكِّ فِي الطَّهَارَةِ. And these are a lot of topics, mashallah, that we're going to cover in Tahara. And it consists of the definition of Tahara. What do we mean by Tahara? The ahkam related to water, different types of water. What are the rulings concerning different types of water? And najasa wa anwa'iha. What is impurity? And what are the types of impurities, or at least some of them? Tathhir ma asabatu wa najasatu. What is the means of purification of that which has been touched by something that's impure? That's najis, najasa. Then we're going to deal with the chapter related to ablution, al-wudu. And under wudu, we're going to deal with furudihi wa sunanihi. What are the obligatory acts of wudu? What are the sunan acts of wudu? And nawaqidihi, what are the things that invalidate wudu? And ash-shakk fi tahara, yani what? Yani about the condition where a person is in doubt about their state of purification. This is what we're going to deal with in the book of Tahara. So there are a lot of topics here we're going to deal with, and there are many more topics that could be dealt with, but this, yani being the third level, yani book of fiqh, yani it's going to cover some of the basics, and then in the next level, others will be covered. The third thing, ثالثاً, the third thing that this book, this textbook deals with is كتاب الصلاة, yani the book of prayer. ويتضمن تعريف الصلاة ومنزلتها وحكمها وحكم تاركها على من تجب شروط صحة الصلاة أركان الصلاة واجبات الصلاة سنن الصلاة مكروحاتها ومبتلاتها مبتلاتها مبتلا مبتلاتها صلاة المسافر والقصر الجمع الصلاة على الراحلة. نعم. So the book of Salat, these are the subjects they didn't deal with. A lot more subjects than the book of Tahara. And still, many subjects are left out. It consists of the definition of Salat. The manzila of Salat. Yani its station or status, the high status, importance of Salat. Hukm Salat. Yani the ruling concerning Salat. Yani is it obligatory, yani recommended or what? حُكُمْ تَارِكِهَا. What is the ruling concerning the person who has abandoned salat, who doesn't pray? عَلَى مَنْ تَجِبْ. Yani who is it obligatory upon them to pray? Is everybody required to pray? Yani even, for example, an insane person or a child that didn't reach the age of responsibility and so on. شُرُوط صِحَةِ salat. What are the conditions for the validity of salat? Yani what are the conditions for the validity of salat? Yani the preconditions that are necessary for the salat to be yani valid. Arkan as-salat, meaning the pillars, the essential pillars of the salat. Wajibat as-salat, yani the obligatory duties of salat that are less than the arkan. The sunan of salat that are less than the wajibat, yani the extra things that complete and perfect the salat that are not wajib and they are not essential pillars, arkan of salat. The makruhat of salat, the things that are detestable or disliked to perform in the salat. And mubtilat, yani should be mubtilat, mubtilat, yani the mubtilat of salat, those things that invalidate. Things that invalidate the salat. نعم. صلاة المسافر يعني the prayer of the traveler. Specifically القصر يعني shortening the prayers for the traveler. What are the rules concerning that or something related to it? الجمع combining the prayers يعني for the traveler. When is it allowed for the traveler to combine prayers يعني to combine ظهر العصر or مغرب العشاء and the صلاة على راحلة يعني performing the prayer on one's يعني means of conveyance يعني on the horse or animal or car or plane or bus or train or boat or whatever. نعم راحلة. Huh? Technical questions. Nasir always has technical questions. Now.
Traveling from Qatar to New York, I paid Fajr over there, but still by the time I reached here, it was
still Fajr.
And still Asr didn't come in.
Now.
What do I pray in between the 12 hours?
That's a good question, but we can't answer it. Yeah, I'm not capable of answering that question. Pardon me from that one. Leave me. It's a lengthy discussion, but I mean, it is a real problem. May Allah help us with such a situation. This is not the time for it. And maybe when we deal with Safar, we might look at some questions like that. But now, today, we just want to complete the introduction to the book. And when we reach traveling, and if somebody's traveling right now and they need the question answered, may Allah help them. But since you already traveled before, we'll skip you. Rabi'an, the fourth matter that we're going to deal with in this book is Kitab al-Zakat. Kitab al-Zakat. Yani the book of Zakat. Yani here, what is intended by Zakat is obligatory charity. And we know that sometimes Zakat is contrasted with Sadaqah, meaning Zakat, any obligatory charity, and Sadaqah, voluntary charity, while in reality, that's not always the case that they are contrasted, because certainly in the Quran, the word Sadaqah is used in Surah At-Tawbah to mean obligatory charity. But in any case, what is intended here by Zakat is the obligatory charity. That's what's intended here. يَشْتَمِلُ تَعْرِيفَهَا حُكْمَهَا عَلَى مَنْ تَجِبُ الْأَمْوَالَ الَّتِي تَجِبُ فِيهَا وَمَصَارِفَهَا. يعني here, the book of Zakat is going to be brief. It's going to be composed of the definition of Zakat, the ruling concerning Zakat, is it obligatory, and upon who it is obligatory, amwal allati tajibu fiha, and the types of wealth that are obligatory to pay Zakat upon them, and the masarif, meaning the those who are the Zakat should be spent upon, how should it be spent, which ways should it be dispensed with. The fifth thing that we're going to deal with after the introduction and Tahara and Salat and Zakat is Kitab al-Siyam, the book of fasting. وَيَتَضَمَّنُوا تَعْرِيفَ al-Siyam. نعم. يَشْمِلُ. نعم. يَشْمِلُ تَعْرِيفَهَا. It includes within it تَعْرِيفَ and the book of Zakat. And in the previous Rabian, Kitab al-Zakat, يَشْمِلُ تَعْرِيفَهَا. It includes its definition, its ruling, who is it obligatory upon, the types of wealth that are obligatory to pay Zakat, and how it should be dispensed with. Now, who with to who? Huh? شَمِلَ يَشْمَلُ. شَمِلَ, شَمِلَ يَشْمَلُ. يَشْتَمِلُ يَشْمَلُ means that what it covers. يَشْتَمِلُ means what it consists of. It has parts that it consists of. يَشْتَمِلُ it's pretty much the same. They are using different words here just for variety in the way it is explained. Okay, number five, كِتَابُ السِّيَامُ, the book of fasting, and it includes within it the definition of fasting, فَضْلَهُ, its excellence or virtue, عَلَى مَنْ تَجِبُ, who is it obligatory upon, fasting is obligatory upon who, مَا يَسْتَحِبُّ لِلصَّائِمِ, those things that are beloved or commendable for the fasting person to be doing while they are fasting, مُبْتِلَاتْ الصِّيَامِ, and those things which invalidate the fast, the things which invalidate a person's fast. the sixth thing that we're going to deal with is Kitab, Kitab al-Hajj. Sadisan, Kitab al-Hajj. Yani the book of pilgrimage. يحتوي على تعريف الحج وفضله وحكمه وشروط وجوبه وأركان الحج وواجباته وسنن الحج ومحظورات الإحرام. يعني يحتوي, it consists of, يعني the definition of pilgrimage. What is pilgrimage? Also its excellence or virtue, its ruling. And the ruling concerning Hajj is obligatory and upon who? شروط وجوبه. What are the conditions for it to be obligatory upon someone? On someone. أركان الحج. What are the pillars, the essential pillars of Hajj? The واجبات, the obligatory duties of Hajj. And the difference between أركان and واجب, يعني here in this sense, is the أركان or the essential pillars without which the act is invalid. The واجبات are those things which are obligatory. If a person missed it, they can compensate for it. Yani the arkan can't be compensated for. You have to bring it or the act became invalid. Okay, so we mean arkan, those essential things that it will not be valid without it. If any one of them are missing, it became invalid. Wajib, if it is missing, yani not intentionally, then it can be compensated for by something else, depending on what the act is. Here we're talking about Hajj. Yani it may be different from one act to another, but it means that it can be compensated for. Now, yani in this case, sunan al-hajj, yani those things which are not pillars of hajj, not obligatory, but they are extra duties that are from the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which complete and perfect the hajj. Mahdurat al-ihram, yani those things which are prohibited while a person is in the state of ihram, yani state of consecration, meaning they have entered in the state of yani ihram by making intention, going to the miqat, and getting into the clothing of ihram. Yani what became prohibited when that person is in that condition. After this, he said, okay, so this is yani the content of what we're going to cover, yani the introduction to fiqh itself, yani tahara, salat, zakat, siyam, and hajj. So we know that from this, that what this book is dealing with are yani the fiqh of the yani ibadat, fiqh of ibadah, yani some aspects of these yani areas. After this, he said, وَقَدْ زُيِّلَ زُيِّلَ زُيِّلَ, yani meaning that something has been brought at the end. زُيِّلَ كُلُّ بَابٍ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَبْوَابِ بِأَسْئِلَةٍ عَلَيْهَا, yani each of these chapters, from the chapters that are mentioned, will be followed at the end with some questions related to, yani asila alayha, related to the content of that particular chapter. So each chapter will have questions. Tamreenan lit-talib ala fahmi hadhihi durus. And these will be as exercises or training for the student in understanding these lessons. Yani the questions is what? To make sure that you understand the content of that particular chapter. وَقَدْ رُوعِي فِيهَا السُّهُولَةُ. And yani special attention has been given, or care has been taken, to make sure that yani the lessons are easy. Care was given to make sure that the language and the content is going to be easy for the student. كَمَا بُذِّلَ الْجُهُدْ لِيَقْتَرِنَ كُلَّ حُكْمٍ بِدَلِيلِهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَإِجْمَاعِ السَّلَفِ الْأُمَّةِ وَإِجْمَاعِ سَلَفِ الْأُمَّةِ. يعني likewise an effort has been exerted, يعني بُذِّلَ الْجُهُدْ, يعني effort has been exerted to accompany each ruling with its evidence from the book, the Qur'an, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the consensus of the salaf of this ummah, يعني of the predecessors of the ummah of Islam, يعني meaning yani the consensus of the first generations of the Muslims, yani the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the tabi'un and atba' tabi'in. Wa inna min ahammi ahdafi tadrisi al-fiqh bi shu'bati ma ya'ti. ليقترنا ليقترنا يعني effort has been made to accompany كل حكم every ruling بدليله with its evidence من الكتاب والسنة وإجماع سلف الأمة وإن من أهم أهداف تدريس الفقه يعني from the most important goals or objectives of teaching fiqh بالشعبة in this institute is ما يأتي that which follows from amongst the most important goals يعني it's not everything that يعني they intended but from the most important of their goals are number one تعليم فعليم الطالب الطالبي بعد أحكام المتعلقة بالعبادات يعني teaching the students some of the rulings that are connected to worship, to acts of worship. المتعلقة بالعبادات. Some of the legal rulings connected to acts of worship. That's from amongst the most important goals. Teaching the students some of the legal rulings related to acts of worship. باء أن يعرف أو أن يعرف أن يعرف الطالب المصطلحات الفقهية ليتمكن من فهم دروس الفقه في مراحل دراسته المقبلة يعني أن يعرف الطالب so that the student may know the مصطلحات الفقهية or it could be ليعرف الطالب الله أعلم يعني it could be either one يعني أن يعرف الطالب أو أن يعرف الطالب يعني for the student to know or to make the student to know the مصطلحات الفقهية يعني juristic technical terms مصطلحات means technical terms الفقهية يعني technical terms of fiqh ليتمكن من فهم دروس الفقه في مراحل دراسته المقبلة يعني so that he will become capable ليتمكن so that he becomes capable of understanding the lessons in fiqh in the stages of his study in the future, his future stages in his studies. يعني مراحل means the stages of his studies of the future, and his future studies. يعني to learn some technical fiqh terminology so that he will be capable of understanding the lessons in fiqh in his future studies, يعني when he goes into the kulliyah. The third thing, أن ينتفع بهذه الدروس عند تطبيقها في حياته اليومية يعني that the student will benefit ينتفع from these lessons at the time of applying them in his daily life يعني he will benefit from these lessons in the application of them to his daily life حياته اليومية these are three of the most important goals of يعني teaching fiqh in the Arabic Language Institute يعني of From amongst their most important goals is to teach the students some of the technical terminology related to ibadah or legal rulings related to ibadah and also the technical terminologies of fiqh so that he will be capable of understanding the lessons in fiqh in his future studies and when he leaves the Arabic Institute and three, that he may benefit from these lessons in their application in his daily life. And this is a very important goal here that whatever we learn, we should be applying it. And then they close this section by saying نسأل الله تعالى أن ينفع بها الطلاب وأن يجعل العمل فيها خالصا لوجهه وأن يتقبله بقبول حسن إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وهو حسبنا ونعم الوكيل We ask Allah the Most High أن ينفع بها الطلاب that Allah caused the students to benefit from these lessons. وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَ الْعَمَلَ And to make this action of ours, our deed, يعني what we have done in here, يعني in putting this together, that Allah make it خَالِصًا لِوَجْهِ That this is purely for His face, يعني purely to seek the pleasure and the reward of Allah, يعني, or more specifically, يعني the reward of Jannah and seeing the face of Allah in Jannah. وَيَتَقَبَّلَهُ and that Allah accept it with a good acceptance. Indeed, he is waliyu dhalika, yani the one who has control over this affair, and he is qadirun alayhi, he has power over it, who hasbuna wa ni'mal wakil, and he is sufficient for us, and he is the best one to place in charge of our affairs. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and may the salat and salam and barakah of Allah be upon his worshipper and his messenger, our Prophet Muhammad, and upon his family and his companions, all of them. Any question concerning the introduction, yani this muqaddimah? Any question concerning the muqaddimah, yani what it contains, what it entails, or what is its main objectives? Naam? There will be questions and answers. I mean, there will be questions and you will give the answers. Huh? Not related to that. The questions will be related to the fiqh of ibadah. Yani, of course, as we are going through the lessons, and in order for us to benefit linguistically, then we'll be examining yani some issues, right, related to the linguistic side of it, looking at yani some of the things that we have studied in this level or before that. Yani as we are reading and in our comprehension of what we are reading, then we'll be looking at, right, the sentence structure and the Arab in order to comprehend what we are reading. So we'll be looking at that, inshallah. And any questions that we have concerning that, then we'll try to clarify them as we read through, inshallah. Yani whatever we have learned in this level or before it, then we should be applying it in our reading and in our comprehension. And if something is not clear, then we try to clarify yani what it actually means, what it entails, why is it like that, and so on. Naam, Abdul Haq.
In the prayer, you put
Sure. Yeah, we welcome anybody who wants to join. They're welcome to join. But we're saying that because there are two purposes here. One purpose is to learn something about the fiqh of ibadah, and the other purpose is to learn Arabic language. In order for a person to benefit from that second matter, they have to have some basic knowledge of Arabic grammar. Otherwise, they're not going to really benefit too much from the Arabic side of it. But as far as the knowledge of the fiqh of ibadah, of course, anyone can benefit. And anyone is welcome. No, naam. But we're saying that we have two objectives here, yani two primary objectives. One of them is to learn more about the fiqh of ibadah, and the other one is to learn more Arabic. So as far as learning Arabic, then this is yani mustawa thalith, fiqh. So that means that a person has to have some basic knowledge of Arabic language in order to benefit from the grammatical yani aspect of it. As far as the fiqh, then of course anybody can benefit. So of course we invite, and we have people who join us who are not yani in this level of Arabic language. Well, we don't want to deceive people into believing that they're going to come here and they don't have to know Arabic, and then you know, like they're going to get the full benefit. But sure, people are welcome. Anybody's welcome. If you want to invite somebody, they're welcome. No problem. They're welcome. Yani the purpose, as I said, is to make people aware that this is actually an Arabic class. We are studying Arabic. But at the same time, yani also of importance is that we want to learn the fiqh of ibadah. So if somebody wants to come in and sit in and learn from the fiqh of ibadah, I mean, we had people who sat in last time when we did yani tawheed, right? And they are not in mustawa thalith, but they benefit from the discussions of arkan of iman, tawheed, and shirk, and whatever we discuss concerning that. Okay, so no problem. People are welcome. Anybody is welcome. Now, طيب, any question about what we read here now? طيب, let's go on to the actual tamheed. Now, from yani thal, ya, lam, but the second form of the verb. Thayyala. Yani, it's in the passive form here. Thuyyila. Naam. Yani, if you look it up in the dictionary, look up under. Thal, ya, lam, but it's the second form of the verb. Yani, yeah, means to, yani, veil is a tail. But zayyala, it means to bring something at the end of it. Yani, like an appendix or something that came at the end. Here, it means the questions that are going to come at the end of the lesson. Yani, to bring it at the end. Yani, you say at the tail end of something, means at the very end of it. So at the end of the lesson, before we go to a new lesson, questions will come. Good? Oh, yeah. Now, tail? Zail means tail. But here, with this word, the word that came here is the verb. Any second form of the verb.
When you say second form, like, ma'mi, you begin a
majhul? Now, second form, I mean, yani, fa'ala. But here, it is ma'mi lil-majhul. Okay? But the second form of the verb means the fa'ala form. Tayyib. Okay, let's read from the Tamheed. Tamheed. This is the introduction. And it is any several points, right? From page 4, 5, and the top of page 6. Okay. If we have time, inshallah, I'd like to also add some notes to this tamheed from Yani Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Yani, where he talks about the ahkam, yani al-sharia, al-shara'iyya, al-khamsa. If we don't have time, then maybe in the next class we can read them. Okay, so the first thing in the Tamheed on page 4, Tamheedun, it means introduction or preface or forward. Yani, awwalan ta'arifu al-fiqhi. The first thing is ta'arif of al-fiqh. Ta'arif meaning? Definition of fiqh. Huwa fi al-lughati al-fahmu. Yuqalu faqiha yafqahu. Bimana fahima yafhamu. We're going to stop there. Yani, the definition of fiqh, linguistically, huwa fil lugha. Yani, linguistically, in the Arabic language, al fiqh, it means al fahmu. Al fahmu, understanding. Yani, linguistically, fiqh means understanding. Yuqalu, yani, it is said, faqiha. يَفْقَهُ يعني this verb فَقِهَ يَفْقَهُ بِمَانَ فَهِمَ يَفْحَمُ يعني the meaning of فَقِهَ is فَهِمَ يَفْقَهُ يَفْحَمُ يعني to have understanding of something يعني he understood or he understands يعني that's the meaning of فَقِهَ يَفْقَهُ he understood or he understands وَالْفِقْهُ فِي الْإِصْطِلَاحِ And fiqh in the technical language, okay, that's the meaning of it linguistically. Fiqh means fahm. But in the technical language of the deen, al-fiqh, it means al-ilmu bil-ahkami al-shara'iyyati al-ma'akhudati min adillati al-kitabi wa-sunnah. In istilah, it means what? In English, it means what? Yani in terminology, fiqh in the Islamic terminology, it means al-ilmu bil-ahkam al-shara'iyya al-ma'akhudha min adillat al-kitabi wa sunnah. What does that mean? Translate. Which are derived, extracted from the Quran and Sunnah. Naam. Al-ilmu, knowledge of, having knowledge of al-ahkam al-shara'iyya. Yani, the legal rulings, the sharia, legal rulings, al-ma'akhudha, that are derived or extracted, min adillati al-kitabi wa-sunnah, from the evidences of the book and the sunnah, and, yani, those are the primary sources, right? And whatever came after that, yani, and the other sources, yani, adillati al-kitabi wa-sunnah. So here we're talking about fiqh, technically it means the knowledge of the legal rulings, sharia rulings. That are extracted from the evidences of the book and the sunnah, the Quran and the sunnah, and the other secondary sources. Any question about the ta'rif? Yani linguistically or technically? And of course, whenever we study anything in the deen, and we look at any chapter in any affair, we always want to start with the definition. What is it that we are studying? And we want to know linguistically, what does it mean in Arabic language? And then we want to know technically, what does it mean in the Sharia language? Okay, so here we have the linguistic meaning, al-fahm, and the technical meaning, al-ilm, bil-ahkam, al-shari'i, al-ma'akhudha min al-kitabi, wa-sunnah. ثانيا موضوعه ها المأخوذة from أخذ يعني or from أخذ مبني للمجهول يعني mean it is derived from is the اسم مفعول اسم مفعول مأخوذ here is feminine مأخوذة يعني because referring back to أحكام which is جم غير عاقل مأخوذة mean it's taken from derived from extracted from the evidence of the book and the sunnah ثانيا موضوعه يعني its subject matter يعني what is the subject matter of fiqh huh? Is the subject matter of fiqh history or explanation of Quran? No. Its subject matter is يبحث الفقه في الأحكام الشرعية المتعلقة بالعبادات كالصلاة والصوم والمعاملات كالبيع والربا والعلاقات الاجتماعية كالزواج والطلاق إلى غير ذلك من الأحكام. Okay, what is its subject? يبحث الفقه يعني فقه looks into, searches out الأحكام الشرعية, the legal rulings المتعلقة that are connected بالعبادات, connected to acts of worship. This is the first aspect of it. يعني legal rulings connected to عبادات. Like, for example, prayer and fasting. Secondly, legal rulings that are connected to المعاملات. المعاملات, يعني dealings, يعني like business dealings, such as buying and selling, or يعني riba. يعني what are the legal rulings related to? المعاملات, يعني your business dealings. And thirdly, الأحكام الشرعية المتعلقة بالعلاقات الاجتماعية. يعني meaning يعني العلاقات الاجتماعية علاقات means relations اجتماعية means social societal social relations so here we have what الأحكام الشرعية that are connected to عبادات like salat and sawm and then أحكام الشرعية that are connected to المعاملات business dealings like buying and selling and riba, and أحكام الشرعية متعلقة بالعلاقات الاجتماعية, social dealings, social relations, like كالزواج والطلاق إلى غير ذلك من الأحكام, يعني such as marriage and divorce, and other than that of legal rulings. So here we see that there are three categories that they have focused upon, يعني the أحكام الشرعية that are connected to worship, أحكام الشرعية connected to يعني business dealings and أحكام الشرعية connected to social relations. Here they gave the example of marriage and divorce, but it also means other kind of social relations. يعني whether يعني neighbors, family members, parents, children, whatever it may be, social relations, يعني our social relations. So this is very broad based. They have narrowed it down to three يعني broad-based categories, worship, business dealings, and social relations, social interaction. And of course, fiqh covers more than that, right? But those are like general areas that cover a lot of what يعني is dealt with here. This is the subject of fiqh, يعني what it deals with, legal rulings connected to worship, business dealings, social relations, and so on. ثالثاً, يعني the third topic of the tamheed is معرفة الفقه. فائدته. The third thing is فائدته, meaning the benefit of learning fiqh. Is معرفة الفقه تعين المسلم على معرفة أحكام عبادته لله تعالى ومعاملته وعلاقاته بمن حوله من الناس وليكون على بصيرة من أمر دينه ودنياه فيسعد في الدنيا والآخرة. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. متفق عليه. يعني from the benefits of studying fiqh is that you come to know, you become acquainted with معرفة الفقه, يعني coming to know this fiqh تعين المسلم على معرفة أحكام عبادته لله تعالى. يعني it helps you, it assists the Muslim to know the rulings of his worship of Allah the Most High. To know what are the rulings related to his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the rulings related to the things that you have to do in your worship? To know is something obligatory. Yani, is it haram? Is it encouraged? Is it disliked? Or what is its ruling? When a person is doing something as an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, maybe a person is doing something as an act of worship that is actually haram. Haram. And they are intending to do it as an act of worship and they don't know. So if a person yani studies fiqh, they will know what's the ruling concerning this act that I want to do in worship of Allah. Is it forbidden? Is it permissible? Is it mandatory? Is it encouraged? What is this ruling? Yani, what is the ruling concerning fasting in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah? What is the ruling concerning it? For example, and a person needs to know that. Is it mandatory for me to fast? It's not. Is it mustahab? Naam, it is, yes. It's encouraged. But a person wants to know what is the ruling. So they'll know, must I fast? Maybe it's hard for them. Maybe they're working in the day and the sun all day and it's difficult to fast. So they want to know. If it's mandatory, I have to do it. But if it's not mandatory, maybe I'll try to do a little bit more dhikr and dua and reading Quran and give some charity or something else. Okay, so knowing the ruling concerning a matter is very important. It's very important. Yani, is it mandatory for you to make a sacrifice on the day of Eid al-Adha? Person needs to know that. Maybe a person is able, but yani, what they might have a little bit yani shortage of money. So they want to know, is it mandatory? I have to do it, even if I don't have money to pay my rent. No, it's not mandatory, but it's highly encouraged. The Prophet ﷺ always did it. He never abandoned it. And it is known that this is something whoever is able should do it. But we need to know the legal ruling. So this, yani, from the benefits of fiqh, is ma'arifat al-fiqh tu'inu al-Muslim. It helps the Muslim to know the legal rulings concerning his acts of worship for Allah the Most High, wa mu'amalatihi, and also his financial dealings, wa alaqatihi bimen hawluhu min al-nas, and yani the rulings concerning his relations with those who are around him from amongst the people. Yani, how should he deal with the people? What is required of him? And so on, legal rulings related to this. وَلِيَكُونَ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ, and so that he will be yani upon basira min amri dinihi wa dunyahu, yani meaning that he will be have yani proper clear insight, correct knowledge, basira, yani person is seeing clearly, they are not yani stumbling in darkness. He will be ala basira, it will be clear to him on what he should or should not be doing from the affair of his deen and the affair of his worldly life. فَيَسْعَدُ, so that he will achieve yani happiness, success yani in the dunya, in this world, and in the akhirah, and in the next life. Yani, he will achieve success, happiness, yani he will be of those who earn the pleasure of Allah if he knows these things and he applies them with sincerity in accordance with the sunnah. He will be successful in this world and successful in the next life. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من يريد الله به خير يفقه في الدين, and whoever Allah intends for him خير, Allah intends good for somebody, يفقه في الدين, Allah causes him to have fiqh, يعني فهم, understanding of the deen. If Allah intends for a person خير, he makes that person to understand the deen. He facilitates it for that person to understand the deen. This hadith is reported by, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Naam. How can we be living and not and deal with the fiqh of something, right, on a daily basis? We have to worship every single day. We might not do business every day, but we have to worship every day. Most people are going to interact with other human beings every day. Yani, even the person who's in solitary confinement in the prison, he's going to come in contact with a prison guard or somebody, right? So there's always interaction with people all the time. There's worship for sure every day. So, yeah, a Muslim is dealing with Yani these things all the time. We're dealing with the legal rulings. We need to know all the time the legal rulings concerning yani the affairs in our life. The affairs of the dunya and the affairs of the deen. Huh? By evidence. Naam. Yani we need to know the legal rulings with their evidence. Huh? Oh, we buy? Oh, we buy every day. Well, yeah, some people might buy every day. Some people might go shopping for the whole week or the whole month, and they might not be buying every day. Yeah, probably. Yani, and we're having yani some kind of activity all the time. Naam. Okay, that is the from the fruits of the fiqh. And from the fourth point is on page 5. Rabi'an, hukmu ta'allumi al-fiqhi wa ta'alimihi. Yani the ruling concerning ta'allum. Yani meaning? Learning fiqh. Wa ta'alim, teaching it. Learning the fiqh and teaching it. What is the ruling concerning learning fiqh? And what is the ruling concerning teaching it? Huwa fardu kifayatin ala al-muslimina. Yani the ruling concerning this fiqh is that it is fard kifaya upon the Muslims. Fard kifaya. Yani bima'ana, what does it mean in fard kifaya? Bima'ana, its meaning is, أنه يجب على المسلمين أن يكون من بينهم الفقهاء في كل عصر وفي كل مكان ليبين لهم حكم الشرع فيما يقع بينهم من مسائل في العبادات والمعاملات وغيرها. We're going to stop here. No, we'll keep reading. فإن عم الجهل وانعدم الفقهاء فالمسلمون حينئذ يكونون آثمين جميعا. And we'll come back to the ayat. Yani fard kifaya. Yani the ruling concerning fiqh, learning it and teaching it, is that it is fard kifaya. Yani overall, it is fard kifaya. Meaning, it's not fard ayn. It's not obligatory on every individual, but rather, yani it's fard kifaya on the Muslims, meaning that it is obligatory upon the Muslims as a whole, and yakunu min bainihim, that there be amongst them people who are scholars of fiqh. There has to be some people amongst them who are scholars of fiqh in every time period, in every land, in every place, so that they will make clear, li yubayyinu lahum hukm al-shar, so that they will make clear to them the ruling of the legal, the law, the sharia, the divine law. What is the ruling in the divine law? فِيمَا يَقَعُ بَيْنَهُمْ مِنْ مَسَائِلْ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ وَمُعَوَلَاتُ وَغَيْرِهَا. So that, yani, the scholars of fiqh who are amongst them can make clear to them what is the legal ruling concerning anything that occurred amongst them. يَقَعَ بَيْنَهُمْ, whatever occurred amongst them from the issues of worship, ibadat, or mu'amalat, yani their financial dealings and so on, and other than that. So that somebody will be there to make clear to them what's the legal ruling concerning something that happened, occurred amongst the people. What is the legal ruling concerning this? Now, naam, here's the ayah. قال الله تعالى وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. Yani, this is the answer to your question. Yani, he's saying, what is the legal ruling concerning yani some of the people yani who learn, and the people who go out, and the people who come back, and teaching them? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 122nd ayat, وَمَا كَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَةً. Yani that it is not for the believers, for all of them to go out. Yani لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَةً, that everyone goes out. And there's two interpretations of this ayat. The scholars interpret it differently, and yani we'll see as we go through it. Yani it's not permissible. It's not right, it's not befitting of the Muslims for all of them to go out to travel in the land. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ. Rather, it should be that a ta'ifa from amongst them, from every group of them, مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ. A group from amongst them should go out. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, in order to seek, يعني fiqh or fahm, understanding of the deen. لِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ, so that they may warn their people. يعني, so they may warn their people, meaning so they may teach their people. إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, when they return to them. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ, perhaps, يعني it is hoped that they will take heed, that they will take heed to the warning. يعني, so the meaning here is, يعني, that some of the people should go forth in the land and some should remain behind. يعني, some of the people will learn and they will be responsible to teach the people who return to them or who they return to. يعني, so that they may take heed to the warning. So the point here is what? That it's not obligatory upon everyone. As long as some of the people learn, then those people will be responsible for teaching the others who didn't learn.
So it's like the meaning of the
Fard Kifaya. Means that Fard Kifaya. As long as some of the people learn, then they will teach the other people. And they will admonish them, they will remind them, they will warn them, they will teach them. Is it better to follow a madhab, the four imams, since they cover all topics? Is it better to follow a madhab, any one of the four imams, since they cover all topics? Maybe somebody, if you are sure of what is the meaning of this question, yani, is it better to follow a madhab? Better than what? Than not following a madhab? Is that what is understood? Is it better to follow a madhab than not to follow a madhab?
No.
What is the meaning? Yani, is it good to follow a madhab? Does anybody understand this question? Is anybody clear that they understand it? It's the question, is it better to follow a madhab, the four imams, since they cover all topics? Is it better to follow one of them than to follow all of them?
Maybe to say it is possible. Because some people take one madhab.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe if somebody could send the question back and they could be more clear, because I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm going to answer the question where I understand it. Is it better to follow a madhab? Yani, better than not following anything? Sure, it's better to follow a madhab than not to follow anything. Is it better to follow, yani, one madhab than to not follow any madhab? It depends on the condition of the people. If they're following one madhab and they're being taught by a scholar, a real scholar from the people of Sunnah, then this is better than a person just studying all over the place, if they're being taught by a scholar. If they're not being taught by a scholar and they're studying a madhab by themselves, then that's not necessarily better. Because the madhab, yani, if there's nobody teaching you, then you'll just follow whatever the madhab says that's right and that's wrong. And all of it is not going to be right. If it's being taught by a scholar, it's better to learn from a scholar. Naam, there's no doubt about it. But if it's not being taught by anyone, then it may not necessarily be good to follow one madhab, because you'll be stuck with the opinions of one madhab, all of the opinions, whether they are right or wrong. And this is really not what is, yani, obligatory upon us. Rather, what is obligatory upon us is to follow what is correct, yani, based on evidence. And not every opinion of any madhab, none of them. There's no madhab that every opinion that it holds is correct. Rather, yani, the four imams, they are from the leading scholars of this ummah, and they should be highly respected. And whoever studies, yani, any one of their madhabs should know that the madhabs contain rulings that are not from the imam. Rather, there are rulings that came from the people after the imam, throughout history. And some of those rulings have nothing to do with the imam of the madhab, and a person should be aware of that. And that's why if your person is going to study with a scholar who's able to distinguish, then this is good. There's no doubt this is good. Wallahu alam. Naam, Abu Hanan. No.
In the age of, I guess, social media and the fact that we, you know, the earth because they have been, you know, made smaller with communication. So if I say if I'm in, we're here in Brooklyn.
No.
And we make a, you know, we do a telelink to maybe Saudi.
No, or, to scholars in other, in the Muslim lands.
Would that be sufficing?
Perhaps it could be, but I mean that's like in the limited sense of us here in Brooklyn. But in a whole country, there should be scholars. There's no such thing as that there's a country and there are no Muslim scholars in the country. So if there are no Muslim scholars in the whole country, they have fallen short. For sure, they have neglected their duty. Can the people in any location depend on scholars in other places? No doubt. Just like the people in New York can depend on the scholars who are neighboring us in New Jersey or Pennsylvania or somewhere else. But in the whole country, there are no scholars, nobody who's studying the fiqh and mastering and learning it. This is not, this should not be happening. Rather, we all should be learning, and some people should be specializing and mastering these sciences. But however, there's no doubt that there's a benefit in this day and time with all the kind of media that we have, that people can ask questions from the scholars all over the world. So we're not like really stuck with nothing, but that doesn't mean that now we should just go to sleep, we don't have to study, because there are scholars all over the world, we can just contact them easily, so we don't have to learn. No, we have to learn. طالب العلم فريدتن على كل مسلم. It's obligatory upon us to learn, and it's obligatory upon some of us to specialize in these areas. Even though we may not become scholars, but at least there are people locally, yani around us, who know something that we can go to. And then when there are major problems, then we try to contact the real scholars in the lands of the Muslims, if we don't have any scholars here. And as is our case, pretty much, right? Okay, we don't want to get too sidetracked with this, yani, but the question is an important question. Now, who is a scholar? A scholar of fiqh? We're going to come to that, inshallah. We're going to come to that, inshallah. That's one of the points of this lesson, right? We're coming soon, inshallah. Yani, this is not something that is in the absolute sense. And that there's a certain period of time, person has to study at least 20 years, or 30 years, or 5 years. It's not like that. Because some people may learn faster than others. There are some people who studied, there are scholars, who studied with their teacher for 20 or 30 or 40 years. And during that time, they didn't teach people. They only learned. And then there are other people who studied with their sheikh 10 or 15 or 20 years, less than that or whatever. So it's not a specific time period. But in any case, we'll look at briefly what is yani the definition of a faqih, who is a faqih, yani in brief, as we read through the end of this section. Okay, so let's keep going. Yani after this, yani point number 5, point number 4 has one line remaining after the ayah. It says, وَيَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُكَلَّفُ عَلَى الْمُكَلَّفِ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَ مِنَ الْعُلُومِ الدِّينِيَّةِ مَا يَكْفِيهِ فِي عِبَادَتِهِ وَمُعَامَلَتِهِ يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُكَلَّفِ يعني it is obligatory upon the mukallaf. Mukallaf means the one who is? Okay, yes, the one who reached the age where they became responsible to fulfill duties. Mukallaf, yani ism maf'ul. Mukallaf is the one who holds you responsible. Mukallaf is the one who is held responsible. That means a person who reaches a certain age, age of discernment, age of responsibility, yani it's obligatory upon that person who reached the age of responsibility, and yata'allama min al-ulumi ad-diniyati ma yakfihi fi ibadatihi wa mu'amalatihi. It's obligatory upon that person who reached the age of responsibility to learn some of the sciences of religion, al-ulum ad-diniya, some of the sciences of religion, ma yakfihi, that which will be sufficient for him in his acts of worship and his interactions and dealings with the people. Meaning that it's not obligatory for you to learn everything about the ulum of the deen, but you have to learn at least that which will suffice you in order for you to worship and in order for you to deal with the people. You have to learn that. Okay? So, yani, if a person, yani, for example, doesn't have any money, then it's not obligatory for them to learn the ahkam of zakat, although it's good to know it, but it's not obligatory. But if a person have money, it became obligatory upon them to know what's the ahkam of zakat, because they have to fulfill it. Okay, so this is the last point related to the ruling of ta'allum and ta'aleem, teaching or learning and teaching fiqh, yani it's fard kifaya. As long as some of the Muslims fulfill this obligation, the others are excused. And as we will see, as we read further, yani if none of the Muslims fulfill this obligation, then all of them have fallen into sin. As we just mentioned, actually before the ayat, it says that, I don't know if I translated that part. Yani that it's obligatory upon the Muslims that there be amongst them fuqaha in every time period and every place so that they make clear to them the legal rulings concerning that which may occur amongst them in the issues of ibadat, wal mu'amalat, and their interactions and dealings, and other than that, fa'in ammal jahl. I don't think I translated this part. Fa'in ammal jahl. So if ignorance became generally widespread amongst all the people, amma means it spread amongst all the people, umuman, generally, most of the people are ignorant. Wa in adama al fuqaha, and there's the absence of any scholars of fiqh, fal muslimuna hina idhin yakununa athimina jami'an. In that case, in that situation, the Muslims, all of them, jami'an, became yani athimina, sinful. Everybody fell into sin if nobody learned this fiqh. If there were no scholars amongst them, then if ignorance became widespread and there were no scholars of fiqh, then all of the Muslims have fallen into sin. And then the ayah came, and then after that we said it's obligatory upon the one who reached the age of responsibility to learn the sciences of the deen, at least that which is sufficient for him in his worship and in his interactions. Okay, point number 5, as we near the end, khamisan al-ahkam al-shara'iyya, yani the 5 categories of legal rulings that anything may come under, has to come under one of these 5 categories. One of these hukum, al-ahkam al-shara'iyya al-khamsa. Al-ahkam al-shara'iyya allati la takhruju anha mas'ilatun, or mas'alatun min al-masail. Yani la takhruj anha مسألة من المسائل هي باتفاق علماء المسلمين 5 أحكام وهي كالآتي. يعني الأحكام الشرعية, the legal rulings, categories of legal rulings which there's no مسألة من المسائل, there's no issue that goes outside of these 5 categories. It has to come under one of these legal rulings. Yani there's no issue except that it comes under one of these legal rulings. Here, بِاتِّفَاقْ عُلَمَاء الْمُسْلِمِينَ 5 أحكامٍ. Then they are, by agreement of the scholars of the Muslims, by agreement of the Muslim scholars, there are 5 legal rulings, 5 categories of rulings. وَهِيَ كَالْآتِي. And they are as follows. The first of them is al-wajibu, the second of them al-mandubu, the third of them al-haramu, the fourth of them al-makruh, and the fifth of them al-mubah. Yani meaning that every mas'ala, every issue, every action has to come under one of these rulings. It's either wajib or mandub or haram or makruh or mubah. Yani there's no mas'ala that goes outside of these 5 categories. 5 classes of rulings. Mandub is same as mustahab. Naam. And there are different words that can be used for some of these. We'll look at that inshallah, time, you know, if Allah allows. Okay, so the first of them is al-wajibu. And this is not a complete definition of any of these, but in any case it's a definition. If we have time, we'll look at a further definition that came from al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Al-wajibu wa huwa ma yuthabu fa'iluhu imtithalan wa yastahiqu tariquhu al-iqaba kas-salawat al-khamsa. كالصلوات الخمس. Okay, الواجب يعني هو ما يثاب فاعله امتثالا. It is الواجب يعني the obligatory thing, yani the thing that came under the ruling of wajib, means it's obligatory, it's mandatory. It is that which yuthabu fa'iluhu. Yani the one who does it will be rewarded if he does it imtithalan, in compliance or in obedience to Allah. If he does it imtithalan, he does it because Allah has commanded it. So that person, if something is wajib, it means it's a thing which the one who does it in obedience to Allah will be rewarded for it. Yuthabu, he will get thawab for it. وَيَسْتَحَقُّ تَارِكُهُ الْإِقَابَ. And the one who leaves it, who abandons it, who fails to do it, then he deserves to be punished. He deserves al-iqab. And again, note, يَسْتَحِقُّ تَارِكُهُ الْإِقَابَ. It means, it doesn't mean that he is guaranteed to be punished. It means he deserves to be punished. But Allah may forgive whomever He wills. Okay, so what is the wajib? Yani the brief definition is the wajib is a thing which if a person does it in compliance and obedience to Allah, they will be rewarded. And if they abandon it, they deserve punishment. Example of this are the five daily prayers. Yani whoever does them in compliance and obedience to Allah, then they will be rewarded. And whoever abandons it deserves to be punished. The second ruling is al-mandub. وَهُوَ مَا يُثَابُ فَاعِلُهُ امْتِثَالًا. And it is that which the one who does it in obedience to Allah will be rewarded for doing it. Huh? Just like the wajib. But the difference, وَلَا يُعَاقِبُ تَارِقُهُ. تَارِقُهُ. But the one who leaves it will not be punished. As opposed to the wajib, the one who leaves it deserves punishment. The one who leaves that which is mandub is not to be punished. Yani, but if he does it, he will be rewarded. If he doesn't do it, he will not be punished. So the difference between the wajib and the mandub is that whoever does either of them will be rewarded, but whoever abandons the wajib, the obligatory duty, will deserves to be punished. Whoever abandons the mandub, yani that which is commendable, yani recommended, praiseworthy, whoever does it, then he will be rewarded. If he leaves it, he will not be punished. Ka siyam yawm al-ashura. Yani an example of this is fasting the day of Ashura. Ashura being, which day is the day of Ashura? The 10th of Muharram. The 10th of Muharram. Whoever fasts this day, then there's a great reward in fasting. If a person didn't fast it, then they will not be punished. It's not wajib, rather it's mandub. Yani it's mustahab. Naam. Yeah, from Ashura, naam. Tasu'a, yani tasi'a. Ashura, Ashura. Naam. Yani the tenth day of Muharram. Naam. And it's Arabic language. We have a lot to learn, right? Who?
They ask him the first word he used.
The president.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Let's go on. Don't get stopped here. Yani, they are human beings, but they are not our brothers indeed. Number three. Al-haram. وَهُوَ مَا يُثَابُ تَارِكُهُ امْتِثَالًا وَيَسْتَحَقُّ فَاعِلُهُ الْإِقَابِ كَشُرْبِ الْخَمْرِ. Yani al-haram, that which is forbidden. It is the thing which يُثَابُ تَارِكُهُ. If a person leaves it, if a person abandons that which is haram, they will be rewarded for not doing it. If they did it, imtithalan, in compliance to the prohibition of Allah. Wa alaykum salam. وَيَسْتَحِقُّ فَاعِلُهُ الْإِقَابِ. And the one who does it deserves to be punished. Yani that which is haram, if a person leaves it, they will be rewarded. And if they commit it, then they deserve to be punished. Number four, al-makruh. Al-makruh. Yani wahuwa. Yani al-makruh means that which is disliked or detestable or hated or yani abhorrent and so on. Like makruh is hated, is disgusting, detestable. وَهُوَ مَا يُثَابُ تَارِكُهُ امْتِثَالًا. It is that thing which a person will be rewarded if they leave it in compliance to the prohibition of Allah. وَلَا يُعَاقِبُ فَاعِلُهُ, and the one who does it, does that which is makruh, he will not be punished for doing it. كَتَقْدِيمْ الرِّجْلِ الْيُسْرَى عَنْدَ دُخُولَ الْمَسْجِدْ وَتَقْدِيمْ الْيُمْنَى عَنْدَ خُرُوجْ مِنْهُ. And an example of that which is makruh is that a person enters, at the time of entering the masjid, they enter with their left foot. That's makruh, because you're supposed to do what? Enter with your right foot. And likewise, it's makruh if a person exits from the masjid with their right foot. That's makruh, because you're supposed to exit with your left foot. So this is an example of makruh. If a person ما يثاب تاركه, if a person avoids doing that thing, entering with the left foot or exiting with the right foot, if a person avoids that, they will be rewarded if they do it in compliance with Allah's command, and they will not be punished if they fell into this act, which is makruh. They will not be punished. And it's not punishable as the haram. If a person leaves it, they will be rewarded. And if they do it, they will be punished. But in the makruh, they will not be punished. But they will be rewarded for leaving it. So a person should leave that which is makruh. Even if a person says, well, it's not really haram, it's just makruh. Okay, so if you don't do it, you will be rewarded. Don't say it's just makruh. It's rewardable for you to leave that which is makruh. Number 5, al-mubah, وَهُوَ مَا لَا يُثَابُ عَلَى فِعْلِهِ وَلَا يُعَاقِبُ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ كَالْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالنَّوْمِ. And there's a footnote here. The mubah, means that something which is it's permissible, it's allowed. It's allowed for you to do it. هُوَ مَا لَا يُثَابُ عَلَى فِعْلِهِ, that which you don't get a reward for doing it. وَلَا يُعَاقِبُ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ, and you don't get a punishment for leaving it, like eating and drinking and sleeping. The footnote says, إِذَا كَانَ الْفِعْلُ أَوَ التَّرْكُ بِاعْتِدَالِ, as long as your doing of this thing that is mubah is in moderation, or you're abandoning something is in moderation. For example, a person abandons eating and drinking. Going to the extreme, I'm not going to eat for the next 6 months. No, that's not mubah. Because why? It has to be leaving something mubah is bi'tidal, with moderation. Doing it has to be with moderation. It's permissible, it's mubah to eat, but not going to the extreme with it, eating day and night until you kill yourself. Like the goldfish, right? As long as you feed them, they keep eating until they die. Some people are like that. They keep eating until they kill themselves. So here the mubah is that which you will not be given reward for doing it, as long as you do it in moderation, you will not get a reward for doing it, and you will not get a punishment for leaving it, as long as you do it in moderation, or you leave it in moderation, not going to any extreme. Naam. He's mentioning the hadith reported in Bukhari and others of three companions. They came and they asked about the life of the Prophet and his worship. And when they heard what he used to do, how he used to pray and fast and whatever he used to do, one of them said, I'm going to do more than that. I'm not going to sleep at night at all. The Prophet used to pray in the night and sleep some. So I'm not going to sleep at night. Other one said, Prophet used to fast sometime, and sometime he didn't fast, so I'm going to fast every day. Prophet ﷺ used to have wives, right? He married. Someone said, I'm not going to marry. So these people went to the extreme with this. And this extremism is rejected. The Prophet ﷺ said concerning them people, he said what? مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever is undesirous, is displeased with my sunnah, he's not from me. And in one of the narrations, as he mentioned, in that narration, one of them said he will not eat meat. And there's more to the narration, but that's important narration, it's in Bukhari. He said he will not eat meat. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is not pleased with my sunnah is not from me. Which makes us to know that not eating meat, a person says, I'm not going to eat meat, just outright, absolute, prohibiting what Allah has allowed, this is not from the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is not pleased with my sunnah is not from me. And that came in the hadith in Bukhari. And there's more to it. Yani, I'm not going to mention it now because it will take us somewhere else. And I'm not trying to go there at this point. We have a few minutes remaining. Let's finish our lesson. And you have a question about this? Okay, let me finish. And we turn to page 6, top of the page says, Sadisan, man huwa al-faqih. Okay, keeping in mind, the khamisan ahkam al-shar'iyya, these ahkam shar'iyya are very important. Al-wajib, the obligatory, al-mandub, that which is, yani, commendable, praiseworthy, preferable, al-haram, that which is forbidden, al-makruh, that which is disliked or detestable, and mubah, that which is allowed. Okay, we need to know what's the difference between wajib and mandub. What's the difference between haram and makruh? Okay, we should know what's the difference between them clearly and what is al-mubah. And the last point, Sadisan on page 6, 6 point, man huwa al-faqihu. Who is the scholar of fiqh? Huwa alladhi ya'arifu jumlatan azimatan. Min al-ahkami al-shara'iyyati. Ma'a ma'arifati adillatiha. Min al-kitabi wa-sunnah. يعني the faqih is the one who knows jumlatan azimatan min al-ahkam al-shara'iyya. يعني the person who knows a great amount of the legal rulings, the sharia rulings. يعني not a little bit, but jumlatan azima. يعني azima means that they know a lot, very, very much. Huh? ma'a ma'arifati adillatiha, along with being familiar and knowing their evidences, yani the evidence for those ahkam shara'iyya, min al-kitabi wa sunnah. Yani here, there are a lot of points that could be made, but for the sake of time, I'll just allude to one point here, or three points, that the faqih is the person who has a comprehensive knowledge of the sharia rulings in Islam. Yani related to ibadah, mu'amala, yani, and so on. And likewise, it means that the person has to be familiar with and know the evidences for those rulings. Not just, I know this haram and this halal, but I don't know what's the proof for it. That's not a faqih. They have to know what's the evidences. And those evidences are not the evidences from the madhab, Imam so-and-so said, Imam Malik said, Imam Shafi said. No. Evidences mean from the book and the sunnah. Yani evidences from Quran and sunnah. Okay? And sayings of sahaba and so on, ijma'ah, and whatever, yani the secondary rulings. Okay, so this is yani brief discussion concerning what is the yani faqih. Okay, I just want to go back a little bit quickly in the few minutes that we have remaining, and we're going to stop here. I just want to benefit from a couple of points related to the ahkam al-shar'iyya al-khamsa. I read in Al-Usul min Ilm Al-Usul, yani from Sheikh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen in his book Al-Usul min Ilm Al-Usul, yani the fundamentals, the knowledge of the fundamentals from, yani Al-Usul min Usul Al-Fiqh. So from what he said, and I'm just going to summarize quickly, he said Al-Ahkam Al-Shara'iyya, he said Al-Wajib, yani he said the meaning of Al-Wajib is that which is mandatory or necessary. Linguistically, technically, that which the legislator has ordered to be done. Yani wajib means that which Allah has ordered to be done. And it's mandatory, like the five prayers, fast of Ramadan, etc. The Sheikh brings a point here very important. He said, it is also known as fard. It is also known as farida. It is also known as hatm. And it is also known as lazim. Yani wajib is also known as fard, farida, hatm, lazim. And then he said, like what we read in our notes, the one who performs this act is rewarded for obedience and deserves punishment if it is not fulfilled. As far as al-mandub, I'll send these notes to you, inshallah, in Arabic and in English. I'll send you the book, al-usul min al-usul. You'll take it out of there yourself in Arabic. And the notes, yani, just concerning this, I'll send you a translation of them. But the book, I'll send you in Arabic, inshallah. Al-mandub, he said, linguistically, that to which one is invited or encouraged to do. Yani mandub, something that Allah and the Messenger invites us to do, encourage us to do. Not mandatory. technically that which the legislator has commanded or ordered to be done, but not being absolutely mandatory. Like the rawatib prayers, yani the prayers, the voluntary prayers that accompany the five obligatory prayers, yani that which the legislator has commanded or ordered us to do, but not in the sense of it being absolutely obligatory. It is also known as sunnah. It's also known as masnoon. It's also known as mustahab. And it's also known as nafl. Yani this is what Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said. These are other names for mandub. Sunnah, masnoon, mustahab, nafl. The one who performs this act is rewarded for obedience, but is not punished for leaving it. Al-muharram, linguistically that which is prohibited. Technically that which the legislator has prohibited or forbidden, and it being mandatory to avoid it. Such as disobedience to parents. Disobedience to parents. Haram. Muharram. Engaging in riba, consuming alcohol, etc. It is also known as mahdhur. And it's also known as mamnu'. The one who avoids it is rewarded for obedience. The one who commits it deserves punishment. Al-makruh, linguistically, that which is hated or detestable. Technically, that which the legislator has prohibited or forbidden without it being absolutely mandatory to avoid it. Without it being absolutely mandatory to avoid it. Like taking something or offering it with the left hand. The one who avoids this act is rewarded, but is not punished for commission. And the last one, al-mubah. The Shaykh, he says, linguistically, that which is allowed or permitted. Technically, that which in and of itself does not have any command or prohibition related to it. In and of itself, it doesn't have a command making it obligatory, nor a prohibition making it haram, such as eating during the night in Ramadan. It is also known as halal. Mubah is also known as halal, and it's also known as jaiz. As long as it remains upon its status as mubah, there's no punishment or reward connected to it. And this is from Al-Usul, min ilm Al-Usul, by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. We're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Somebody remind me to send these notes. Yani the Arabic text and the notes just for the five ahkam. Now.